Welcome to the Cybersecurity Expert Podcast, where you learn from the best cybersecurity minds, helping MSPs become cybersecurity heroes for your small business clients. And now, here's your host, Cybersecurity Sherpa, Jennifer Bleem.
Well, hello and welcome to today's episode where we are so privileged to talk with Justin Rheinmuth. He is the owner, chief cook and bottle washer over at Tech Rug, and he has been doing insurance for 15 years in the IT space. So I don't feel like he needs a whole lot of introduction, but what we are going to be talking about today is all about cyber liability, obviously a big topic, and there we could easily fill two or three of these podcasts, but we're going to stick to about a 20-ish minute conversation over the next little while and cover a ton of different topics. So Justin, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Excellent. All right, so let's jump in. So let's talk about cyber liability. There's really two pieces to this puzzle. One is the cyber liability for the MSP, the IT service provider themselves. And the second piece of the puzzle is cyber liability for their clients. Can you speak to that and give any insight that you have on those particular topics?
Sure, absolutely. You know, we get a lot of questions, obviously, from MSPs when they'll call up or engage in us, either about, you know, looking at their insurance, you know, is it good enough for what the service offerings that they're providing, or, you know, possibly, you know, just switching over to our program. You know, I think the number one thing that they don't realize is that these cyber liability errors and omissions insurance policies for MSPs are unregulated. So, you know, you've got different carriers that will insure different, what we call insuring agreements. So what I mean by that is, you know, some carriers will cover, you know, cyber extortion claims with everything going on with the tool sets being compromised. That's obviously a big problem right now. You know, some carriers won't. You know, some carriers will cover forensics if there's a breach. Some carriers won't. So, you know, when an MSP is looking at a cyber liability errors and omissions insurance policy, you know, in my opinion, I would either get with an association that has put together a group program for their members because they've probably vetted out the people that are offering the insurance product, or I would get with somebody that specializes. Usually where MSPs get into trouble, you know, at least of what I've heard from, you know, clients calling us about peers that they've known and you know, certain user groups and just associations that they belong to is, you know, if you go to the local agent and, you know, they're hanging up the phone and they're calling a landscaper, you know, talking to a bakery, talking to a manufacturing company, you know, there's no way that you can keep up with everything that's going on. And if you're going to deal with an unregulated product, you really got to pay attention to it. You know, if you're going to stick to mainstream insurance and insure, you know, a manufacturer or a landscaper, those policies are going to be regulated. So what I mean by that is, you know, if you've got a landscaper that's mowing someone's yard and a rock comes out and hits the car, it really doesn't matter what carrier you're with, they're going to pay the damage done to the car. So that would be the biggest takeaway that an MSP has to realize is that these policies are unregulated. The devil's in the details, and you really need to pay attention, you know, what you're buying, what you're getting, you know, for the money that you're spending. You also bring up another good point about cyber liability insurance for the MSP's clients. You know, we talk to our clients. It's a good business continuity and risk management plan. So what do I mean by business continuity? You know, if an MSP is requiring in their contract that their client maintain cyber insurance while the MSP is working with them, you know, if something does happen where, you know, let's say it's a, you know, a law firm or a dental practice, and, you know, they get into a situation where they have a cyber claim, they leave a, you know, an unencrypted laptop in the back of a Lyft at an industry conference, and all of a sudden that particular state says, hey, in order to comply with this breach of PHI or PII, you have to do A, B, C, D, and E. If A, B, C, D, and E cost $200,000 or $250,000, and the MSP's clients, that they don't have that type of money sitting around, they potentially could be, you know, could go out of business. So, you know, if you've got a client that's 6 months into a 36-month agreement and that does happen, you know, the MSP is going to lose out on 30 months of reoccurring revenue. You know, the other reason it's important is it's a good risk management tool. You know, as I mentioned a little bit earlier, you know, by asking for your clients to carry cyber in your MSA, you know, if and also, again, I'm not a lawyer, but a lot of the ones that I see will also contain a waiver of subrogation. And what that means is that if there is a situation where there is an event and the MSP's clients, their policies pay, you know, $100,000, whatever it may be, by having that in your contract, if the MSP's client's carrier tries to come back at the MSP's, you know, the client by signing the contract has agreed to waive the subrogation where the carrier can't come at the MSP. So therefore it will protect their limits. On a smaller scale, you know, we've also seen situations where, you know, the MSP by requiring their client to carry it is if you have, you know, an employee at the office for one of the companies that you're doing the work for, and it's always the employee that you've told 10 or 15 times not to click on the link, and they do it a 16th time, and all of a sudden they wire $30,000 or $40,000 or $50,000 to someone they shouldn't have. Again, if that client has cyber insurance, that's going to be something that they can go to their carrier and address. If they don't, they might come knock on the MSP's door and say, you know, listen, I don't think that email should have gotten through. You know, will they be successful? I don't know, probably not, but they might try and test your limits. So it's going to prevent a claim.
Excellent. Okay, so obviously with cybersecurity, things are changing very quickly. So from your standpoint, what types of changes have you seen over the last year or two? Maybe share a couple of those with us.
Yeah, you know, doing this for 15 years, I would say that the, you know, first 13 and a half, almost 14 years, we would get a lot of our clients or, you know, folks that were interested in any, you know, calling us up and saying, you know, hey, does the E&O policy cover client data loss, or does the E&O policy cover, you know, network security failures or breach of contract? So I would call those coverage calls that we answered for the first, you know, 13 and a half, 14 years. Over the last, you know, year to 18 months, it's strictly been limit calls. So, you know, we're talking to our clients that, God forbid, their tool sets get compromised or, you know, someone gains access and gets the keys to the kingdom, and they start doing damage, not only to the MSP, but to the MSP's clients, you know, can we survive that? And, you know, there's a couple exercises that, you know, some people on this call you can go through. You know, one of them would be, you know, going through and just, I think Hoovers.com has a free site. I know you can pay, I think, for DMB, but go and, you know, find 15, 20, 30, 40, 50 of your largest clients and see how big those clients are in terms of revenue. And per $52 million that you have under client or under quote unquote management in terms of clients, you know, that's going to represent, if your clients are down for a week, $1 million in lost revenue. So, you know, you got to remember, on top of $1 million that you potentially could get sued for, you know, the carrier is also going to have to defend you. So you're going to have money aside for legal costs. You're also going to have money aside to pay for, you know, the cyber extortion or the ransom payment. You know, you're going to have to pay for forensics to come in and make sure that no PHI or PII was compromised. So we're seeing clients, Jennifer, that were, I don't know, 500,000, and let's say, you know, the starting limit was $1 million. You know, now it's $2 million. So, you know, that's really what's changed a lot in our industry, is it's gone from more of coverage calls to limit calls.
Got it. And so have you personally seen any of these instances where an MSP has had an incident, hacked ransomware? And if so, can you share a couple of those stories with us to give us an idea what that worst case scenario might look like if it happened to us?
Yeah. So unfortunately, you know, we've had 10 events since January. And just to kind of put that in context, you know, in the previous, you know, 14 years that I've been doing this, well, I guess it'll be 14 in December, you know, we had two. So, you know, I've seen in 1 year, five times the number of MSPs being targeted. And, you know, again, 1/14th of the time. So it is a real problem right now. In terms of how it plays out, you know, any E&O claim is going to probably cause an MSP owner to have some sort of, you know, stress or anxiety. You know, I've been through hundreds of these, and usually when, you know, God forbid, an MSP might lose some client data, or the backup didn't work correctly, or there's, you know, a rogue employee or a staff mistake that leads to some sort of claim. You know, I would call those maybe Cat 1 and 2 tornadoes. You know, I've never seen an MSP, you know, go out of business due to any of those. When it comes to your tool sets being compromised, they're nasty. So that to me would be a Cat 5 tornado. And I've never really, of the 10 that I've seen, I've never really seen one play out a certain way and another one, or, you know, follow some sort of, I guess, standard protocol. Because, you know, sometimes that I've been on, when we've been on these situations or been in these situations, we've had MSPs, when we're communicating with the, you know, the criminal enterprise or the bad actors on the other side of the phone, you know, it's taken them, you know, 6 hours to a day to get back to us. You know, sometimes it's been 2 and 3 days. We've had other instances where, you know, we'll pay to get a couple of the keys to see if they work, the decryption keys. Sometimes they've worked right away. Sometimes we have to go and they don't work, and it takes another couple of days to get the test keys that actually work. You know, I've seen instances where, you know, we have had situations where we do pay for the decryption keys and we get them, and then all of a sudden, you know, it works with 30% of the servers. I've had it where, you know, it works with 70%. So, Unfortunately, you know, if you go and you take out homeowners insurance and you buy a $300,000 house, you know, God forbid, if a fire or a tornado happens, that it's going to cost $300,000 to rebuild. When you're talking about with the tool sets compromised, you know, again, it's tough to predict how much or how bad the damage is going to be. You know, what's going to be the ransom? I've seen it as low as $60,000. I've seen it as high as $2 million personally. So, you know, these things are tough to gauge. And, you know, sometimes even with clients, when we talk to them, I mean, if the Cat 5 tornado does come and none of the decryption keys work and we pay the ransom and they don't even give them back to us, I mean, I don't know how you insure against that. You know, it's impossible to tell.
Right, which just underscores how challenging this is, not just from the MSP standpoint, but also from the insurance carrier standpoint. It's just a brand new, I mean, relatively speaking, a brand new industry. And so there's no actuarial tables, there's no averages, it's a big question mark right now. So,
yeah, and I think to your point, you know, as you had mentioned, you know, if this continues to go on, I was, you know, had a carrier that had reached out to me in the last quarter. They're a big cyber carrier, and they had seen an increase of 37% in terms of cyber claims. And of those 33%, 25%, a quarter of them were MSPs. So I know, you know, with TechRug, I mean, the barrier to entry with us, it might be a little bit more difficult. You know, we make our clients go through a risk assessment. We do one strong contract use and things like that. But if my feeling is if these carriers continue to just constantly write these cyber E&O policies and they make them broad coverage, you know, in terms of the coverages, they keep them broad, you're going to run into a situation where, you know, carriers are going to either A, they're going to say, hey, $1,000 premium is now going to be $4,000 or $5,000. B, you know, they're going to add some exclusions that say, okay, all of a sudden now we're not sitting on A, B, and C. Or C, they're going to sublimate and say, hey, we used to offer cyber extortion and, you know, at $1 million, and now we're only going to do it for $100,000. If you get into a situation, it's a $200,000 ransom, you're only on the hook for $100,000. You know, my guess is I think that they'll probably go to raising the premiums because cyber, if you take a, you know, I don't know, an architect or engineer or a lawyer, it's a $2 million in your town. If you're dealing with a $2 million MSP and you were to ask them, hey, what do you pay in your professional liability or your E&O, the architect, engineer, doctor, or lawyer, you know, they're going to pay 3, 4, 5 times. So cyber liability E&O for an MSP is still relatively cheap compared to other industries. But as this continues to go on, you know, I do think that the premiums are going to go up.
Okay, so lots of good points there. I think we probably could talk for another half an hour. If some of the things that you have shared over the last few minutes have piqued the interest of my listeners, what is the best way for them to reach out to you?
Yeah, you can go to our website, www.techrug.com. You know, it just talks a little bit about, you know, our E&O product and, you know, what types of clients that we service. You know, and that's probably a good way. There is a submissions button on there that if you're interested in getting a quote, you can email through that site and it will hit our systems and one of the staff members will be in touch with someone.
Excellent. Thank you so much. I know your time is very valuable, so I appreciate you carving out some time, a few minutes to talk to my listeners. And I think we should probably do this again in a year or so because things are changing so quickly. You'll probably have some more tips and tricks and maybe some what to do as well as maybe a few what not to do. So we'll definitely have to coordinate that in the next year or so. But thank you very, very much for your time.
All right, Jennifer. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it. Have a great day.
Absolutely. You do the same.
To learn more about how you can become a cybersecurity hero for your clients, request your hero assessment today. MSPSalesRevolution.com/hero.